Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. We're grateful to be here this morning with you, Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide, a company of prophetic intercessors. Session is now underway. Be mindful. You may hear some different things in the background today. I am apparently on granny duty this morning, but we're not going to keep the move of Yah from moving forward. The children need to be a part of that. You know, the children of Israel, they had babies. They were moving from one place to the next. Come here, famous. They were moving from one place to the next. Moving according to the word of Yah that was given to them to do a thing and to acquisition a thing, to acquire a thing. And their children were with them. They were bearing children. They were getting pregnant. They were bearing babies. You know, that's the part of the conversation that we don't hear, because if they weren't bearing children and had not children with them, then how 40 years later would there be adult children, their adult children able to go into the land of promise? Getting all kind of kisses. I love you too. Getting all kind of kisses this morning. So Father Yah desires to reveal it to his son in this hour, his power in us to take the land back for his glory. This is what the children of Israel were doing. And I feel to this day, the longer I study these things, the more I believe, because I know the Father to be one that says that nothing is new under the sun. And so he says, if I've done a thing, I'll do it again. This is his way of doing things. So for me, the land that we call the promise, this place is the original promised place that was supposed to be for them. You know, at this point, it is flourished. It is spread out. And it's just amazing that his eye is still on it, because from the beginning, his eye was on it. He didn't change his mind about what his eye was on and the purpose for which he created a thing. This is why we can be assured of the fact that he has not forgotten his purpose. I love you too. He has not forgotten his purpose concerning his son. There was a reason you were formed. There's a reason that you were born. You are not just here to take up space. You're not just here to do your own thing. The Father saw a need. He saw a need in the earth, and he identified with who you are and said, I need to send Ralph. I need to send Jim. I need to send Alicia. I need to send Vicky. I need to send Vontina. I need to send LaDanya. I need to send Carlito. I need to send some people into the earth through some wombs to accomplish a work that I have set out to do. And he's partnered with us today. We've been talking about, we started out with the dark psychology of the 10 spies, really important conversation. And I'm going to get that book done before this year is out. I'm going to get that book done. It's probably going to be about a 60 to 70 page book. I think it's going to bless you, because what we need to, it's okay. Don't scream. Famous, don't throw the cards. Okay. Because what we need to identify with is what's really behind what's speaking to you. You know, what's really behind what's speaking to you. And we have to understand that there are more voices than just the Father's voice. There's more voices than just your own voice. There are more voices than just the Holy Ghost. Okay. There are a lot of different ghosts, and not all of them are set apart. Not all of them are holy voices. Not all of them have a divine outcome for you in mind. It so blessed me yesterday. I was been processing through some things for about a week. And, you know, I say this all the time, but almost with tears gathering in my eyes, with just water just kind of gathering in my eyes, I'm thinking about this morning the fact that we've been so convoluted into thinking that when we come into the kingdom, that life is supposed to get easy. Do you know that there is a war going on? There's a war going on, and you are either on one side of the war or the other. There is no middle ground. There is a war going on, and there are only two rivals. The rival is dark, and the rival is light. We've seen it in all the cartoons throughout our whole life. We've seen the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. We've seen this thing our whole life, but somehow through the convolution of these conversations, whether through cartoons or movies or whatever, we have all of these concepts, these erroneous concepts, erroneous doctrines, really doctrines of devils. Carter, get me a paper towel. Famous, come here. Really doctrines of devils. And it's not that things have not been revealed. Chew, honey. Chew. Chew. It's not that things have not been revealed, but once they are revealed, thank you, darling, once they are revealed, the enemy spends time diluting or contaminating that revelation. Chew, honey. Chew. Chew your food. Sit down. Convoluting and diluting and confusing the conversation to the point where you don't even know what's true anymore. You don't even know what's real anymore. You have ideas fit and concept and chew. Ideas and concept that are just completely opposite of what the scripture has said, you know, completely opposite. I was thinking about this thing that I was just sharing with you this morning about the children. Chew. Chew your food. Thank you. About the children and how they were being raised in the wilderness. Man, you know, and so many people think that this is a negative thing, but sometimes that process is very important. And if you share the process, I don't know if you remember this, but the word says, chew, honey, that they were to tell their children, like when they put the stones in the water, when they passed over the Jordan, you know, when they came through different things, the Father said, now tell your children, you know, when they ask you, when you're walking in the way and they see these things that have been established. So these would be types of altars, you know, things that you have placed in a place to remember. We call them, you know, milestones or, you know, when you're going out of town, you're looking for, I can't think of the word right now. You're looking for things that would help you identify where you are. Okay. These would be markers, things that would help you identify where you are. And so somebody might say, well, go to the corner, make a left. And when you get to the place with the steeple on the top, you know, these are markers, these are identifying markers, then make a left, right? And so as they were coming through that place, that wilderness place, the children would ask, and they would be asking for generations, what is this? Why is this there? And then that would give opportunity or give way for the parents to begin to explain and to give them understanding about who they are and what their purpose is and, you know, who their God is. I've been having a lot of those conversations with my grandchildren a lot more in this season because I'm with them again. Get that out of your mouth. Carlito, don't put that in your mouth because I'm with them. But this is opportunity. You know, the enemy would love for me to get in a position of my feelings. And I'm sharing this because I believe that there are other people that need to hear this. You're agitated about your placement. Come on now. You're agitated about your placement. You feel like, you know, the Father should do it another way or should have or could have done it another way. The purpose by which he's doing it is not just to serve you, but to serve those around you. You understand? It may not be family. It may be an apartment and you wanted a house. Maybe a townhouse and you wanted a house. Maybe you were called to be in a place and you wanted to move out of state and the Father's not permitting that through his conversation that you move. So there's a frustration because you want to move about. And I'm going to tell you this, it's so important for us to understand that wherever the Father has placed us, that's where we need to be with him in that space, in that place, because that's where he is. If he's assigned that place to you, then understand outside of that place, he is not. But where he is, that's where we need to be. So we begin to talk about the dark psychology of the 10 spies. And then the Father shifted us into laying some groundwork for that. And we wound up over in conversations about witchcraft. And you're saying like, well, what does that have to do with this mentality? Well, because there are persons, you know, without bodies. You know, the word talks about this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through Yah, to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are reestablished places in us. And how do they get reestablished? By conversation. Again, the Father's not the only one speaking to you. He's not the only voice in the earth. As a matter of fact, there's the one that is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. What is the air? That's the place where conversations are had, you know, the whisperings, the airwaves. This is what happened from the beginning in the garden. He's the Prince of the Power of the Air. He wants to control the narrative of lives of the people. He did not create you, but he wants to control you. He did not establish you, but he wants to control you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so we begin to talk about witchcraft, and you have to understand that anytime, I'm going to say this for those of you who are listening, who have been doing it your way for so long, you are afraid of doing it the Father's way. There's no fear in doing it his way. He knows what he's doing. You don't. You don't know what he, you don't know what you're doing, because you can't see as far as he can see. It's like the shepherd. Come here, stop dripping that on my bed. Come here. It's like the shepherd. I've been reading up on the shepherd and the things that the shepherd does. Well, the sheep are not actually blind, but they can't see things that are right in front of their nose. Where did you get candy from? Carter, you gave her candy? Huh? Why? No, sir. Don't do that. They can't see things that are right in front of their faces, okay? And so it's the shepherd's job to protect them and to lead them because they cannot see. But one of the things that I thought was so amazing and so fantastic, and I'll share some more about this tomorrow because we're still talking about this psychology, the mentality, and this witchcraft, how these mentalities are formed and how these things enter and all of that. But I want to talk about what the shepherd does because the master is our good shepherd, okay? And there is a conversation concerning how sheep are handled by their shepherd. And the shepherd anoints the sheep. Now, this is not something that you may have heard in any places about sheep, but you can look it up yourself. I want you to go and study it out. Sit down. Sit down. I want you to go and study it out. The shepherd anoints the sheep. And the reason why he puts oil on their heads, and this is a medicinal oil. So I want to share this because, you know, in the places where you find in the scripture that there's anointing that's taking place with oil, we often just think automatically of just olive oil. You know, if somebody's going to the store, you get some olive oil and you pour oil on people's head, and somehow miraculously this oil is supposed to be transitioned into something else. That's not the case. Even when it says that the people should call, if you're any sick among you, let them call for the elders of church, that they may anoint them with oil. It's talking about one who is well-versed in identifying the things that are medicinally proper, you know, positioned to heal the body. The Father has established some things in the earth, and those that are elders should identify with the things that are placed in the earth for the purpose of bringing vitality or health or wellness to the physicality. So he'll say, call for the elders of the church that they may anoint you with oil. This is not just olive oil. This is not just someone coming and pouring oil on your head and saying, be well. No. It's the same thing with the sheep. There's a medicinal oil that's placed on their head, and this oil gets all in their nose. It gets everywhere. And what it does is it prevents things from attaching itself to their head, okay, getting in their nose, getting in their ears. Why? Because these things want to get in their nose, get in their mouth, get in their ears, get in their orifices, and begin to drive it mad. Man. I had not planned to go in this direction this morning, but I see the way that you're going, Holy Spirit. I see. See, when there is no oil on your head, when you are not anointed to do what you're doing, when there's no oil for you in those places that you're dwelling in, there are things that are getting in you. Listen, there are things that are getting in you They're getting in your ears. They're getting in your mouth. They're getting in your nose. And this is what happens with the sheep. Come here, Famous. This is what happens with the sheep when these things get in their, I don't know if they're aphids. They could be a number of different things, but they get in their orifices. And when they do, it drives the sheep mad. And what the sheep begins to do is commit suicide. It bangs its head on a rock on the ground until it kills itself because it's trying to get away from the sound, the feeling, this thing that is buzzing, that is happening inside of them that they have no control over. So it's the shepherd's job, sheep. And as a leader, if I have any leaders listening to me today, listen to me. It's so important for you to walk as you are to be walking. It's so important for you to walk in the righteous path because there are people that you're going to have to anoint because you're going to have to keep these things out of their eyes, out of their ears, out of their nose. I literally had several people over the course of my ministry say to me something about me pulling something out of their ear, something out of their nose. But these same people kept wondering about, and it made me think about this just now, made me think about why the shepherd would break the legs of the sheep. Well, I can't break people's legs and make them stay. I can't break people's legs and put them around my neck. But this was the purpose of the legs being broken and being put around the shepherd's neck so he could carry them back into the flock because they kept wandering off. There is a wandering spirit in the earth because the enemy is in the eyes, in the ears, and in the nose of the people. There are those who don't adhere to instruction. And this word is for me this morning, just as it is for some leaders that will be listening. You cannot beat yourself up about what you have no control over. Anoint the sheep. Give them the oil. Give them the oil. And it will be for us just as the five foolish and the five wise virgins, because they're not animals, then there's a certain way we can't handle them. But the five foolish and the five wise virgins give us clarity on how a thing works as long as they have oil to begin with. That's the thing. Now, they have to make some decisions and do some things the way that they need to do them. Little girl, stop. They have to make the decisions on their own to be prepared. You know, you're going to give them oil. They're going to carry oil with them, but it's up to them how much oil they carry and whether they are prepared or ready, because it's not that you haven't given them the oil. The oil is what prepares us. The oil is what prepares us and makes us ready for the coming. And when I'm talking about the coming, I'm not just talking about the end of the age, because we get stuck there. There are always coming. There are always encounters that we'll be having over the course of life. There are always coming. There are always graduations and elevations and all of these different exclamations that happen in life, just like there are negative, what we consider negative things. But understand, the Father doesn't waste anything. So if you're having what you consider a negative experience now, you're battling, you're being challenged, okay? I've been in that place for about a week and a half. The moment I began to talk about demonic activity, the moment I began to expose the enemy, the whole side of my left face began to swell. I began to have an issue in a tooth in my gum. But listen, there are things that you're going to undergo. There are challenges that are going to happen. There are challenges that are going to happen, okay? And while you're on this journey and these challenges are happening, you must understand that you cannot stop. I don't take it lightly that yesterday the Father took me to something. I read this book when I was a little girl, but I don't even know how I wound up. I don't know what I was looking for or why I was even on YouTube. I feel like I was going somewhere and my path was intercepted by this animated version of the Pilgrim's Progress that came out in 2019. Listen, I'm encouraging you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to post a link in the episode info section of this conversation because I want you to click on that video and I want you to go look at it. It came at a time no better than this because the Father had to remind me. Yes, you'll have to be reminded no matter how spiritual you are, no matter how mature you are, there are times when you'll have to be reminded because you will be accosted by darkness. And when you are underwater and you're flailing and you feel like you're drowning, you're going to need to remember what the Father has said. I felt like crying for several days, just felt like crying, not because I was in despair, despair, but because I was uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you something about growing in the kingdom. There are uncomfortable positions that you will be put in while you are growing. But those uncomfortable positions, just like us stretching in the morning, just like that stretch to learn how to do the splits or whatever it is, they're processes that you have to undergo so that when you get to that place where the performance has to be done, listen, you are able to perform because you have been processed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Father, we just glorify you this morning for your word. I don't know all the places that you want to take us this morning, but we want to go. We say, here am I. Here we are. Send us wherever it is you're commanding us to go. Here we are. Speak to us. As Samuel was hearing the voice and he did not know exactly what he was hearing or what direction all of that would be together. I don't know what direction. I don't know exactly all that you want to say, but we say, Father, your servant hears. Okay. Father, your servant hears this morning, whatever it is, whatever the bread is for the day. We know that bread that we eat is not the only bread that sustains us, but it's by the words of your mouth that we are sustained. So we thank you this morning for every word that you have breathed, for every breath that you have given us, that's giving us life today, that's giving us purpose, instruction, and direction. That's what your word is. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we thank you this morning for the processes that we're undergoing, the places that you're taking us, the destinations that we're arriving in, the elevation and the activation and the graduation that's coming to the sons in this season, because the age is so dark, if not because we're so wonderful and we're so smart. We read that in Torah last week. But it's because the world is so wicked, and because you have chosen us to do your will, because you've chosen us to do your work. So we make ourselves available this morning. We make ourselves available to do what it is you're commanding us to do. We make ourselves available, whether we're going with or without a group, without a people. We make ourselves available because we know that as leaders, you said to Moshe, listen, I'll start all over with you. I'll do it all over again with you. And so we're thankful today that no matter where we are in the process, that if you need to do it all over again, you will. And we trust you to do that, because you've given us the end from the beginning. And what we don't have is the process, all of the details about the process. And that's the place where most of us get stuck. We get stuck in process, but we're not understanding that process denotes that something needs to continue to move through that process in order to become what it should become. So we thank you for giving us the grace for the race. You told Paul, listen, my grace is sufficient for you, my ability. That's what grace is. It's not what people are making grace. They really should be discussing mercy when they're talking about this thing where the Father is not consuming us because of sin and consuming us because of the things that people are walking through because of our ignorance, okay? That's mercy. But grace is God's ability to not get in the situation. And if you wound up in a place, you can get out of the place because of grace, but it has to be a heart's desire. Grace is afforded to us to be able to keep us out of places and to get us out of spaces. And so we're thankful this morning, not only for the grace, but for the mercy that you provided over the course of our life and that you provide every day. You said, Father, that goodness and mercy follow the sons all of the days of our life. So even if we feel like we're in a negative situation, we need to change our perspective, because we recognize that what's following us is goodness and mercy. How we couldn't have anything better following us but goodness and mercy. So because that's following us, that means it's almost in our shadow. It means it's almost kind of in the shadow of who we are. Goodness and mercy has been provided. It's the way that we walk is what follows us. It's the shadow of who we are. And because of the glory that you've released to us as sons in the earth. So we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you for healing this morning. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you right now that chains are being broken off of the life of the sons all over the face of the earth. Notice I didn't say all over the globe, all over the face of the earth. We thank you this morning, Father, that you're breaking chains of unclean spirits. You're breaking chains of all kinds of appetites the diabolic appetites concerning the sons. You're breaking the chain off of those in the earth that you have chosen and appointed to do a work. But the enemy has come to try to confound and to confuse the work because he doesn't want to see it go forth. But we must persevere in this season. And Father, we thank you for the courage of the sons. You told Joshua that he would be only be strong and very courageous. Only be thou strong and very courageous. I declare that to the sons this morning. Only be thou strong and very courageous because Yah, your God, is with you. And as he has been with you, as he has been with us over the course of our lives, keeping us from the things we see and don't see, we know that he is with us now. And where he is, there is a freedom that cannot be described. There is a freedom that cannot be contaminated. And so we thank you that even when we're processing through things, that we're feeling the weight of something. That's the thing that was in the movie. This man was feeling the weight. His name was Christian. I don't remember his other part of his name, but he was feeling the weight, and this thing was on his back, and his wife couldn't see what was on his back. But people don't see when they're looking at us what we're carrying, and sometimes the weight is heavy. But you said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So we trade our burden for yours this morning, the burden of righteousness, the burden of holiness, the burden of walking your will out, the burden of becoming the sons that rule and reign, the burden of doing things your way, relinquishing our right to do it our way, and doing it your way. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you glory this morning. I'm so thankful because I know that my freedom is here. I can feel it. You know, my mouth is better. I'm able to communicate this morning, and it's not causing me any pain. Okay, it's not causing me any pain. And we take so for granted things that are daily operations of our physical body. We take it so for granted. I'm telling you today, don't take for granted life. Don't take for granted the things that the Father has given. Don't take for granted the things that he has prepared, how he has prepared you. Don't take it lightly that you're breathing and that you're not on an oxygen tank. Don't take it lightly that you're able to swallow. Don't take it lightly when you go to the bathroom. Don't take it lightly when you're just smiling because somebody is unable to move in their mouth. Something is going on. Don't take it lightly when you're able to stand up straight. I'm going to tell you something. Obedience is so rewarding. You know, I was having a bunch of different little things going on with me. I had shared this before. I made a transition. The Father gave me a specific way of eating. I'll just say that. And I've been eating that way for almost 15 to 17 years. It's been a long time that I've been eating that way. Little, you know, treats here and there, but nothing outside of what he told me specifically to do. And in December of last year, a conversation came to me. And in that conversation, there was some contamination. I heard the contamination. I opened my ears to it, okay? And when I opened my ears to it, it made me transition. I said, well, maybe it is something I'm missing. And now that I'm going back over the conversation, it's wild because you don't think that those kinds of things could ever happen to you as a believer. But you need to identify the deception of the adversary and how he works, because there are many different modalities, many different vehicles, and many different ways that he approaches situations when he's dealing with trying to bring you off of a path. I got off the path for a minute, and I began to eat a certain way. A way that I've been taken from 15 to 17 years ago. And it was okay, you know. I almost choked on something that I ate one night. And it was, you know, we kind of laughed it off, but it was an indication. You don't even know how to eat this anymore. But I ate it for a season. I probably ate it till up about April of this year. Maybe April, March. I don't know, maybe somewhere April, March, right? And my body drastically changed. Everything about who I was just changing before my eyes. I even felt just kind of some things in my joints. It was weird because I'm a very flexible, very vibrant, you know. I'm 51, but you wouldn't know it if you saw me, and I've never felt 51. You know, I've never felt my age. Famous in there with mommy, probably. I've never felt that. And just in that short time, I began to feel just different things. Now, it's funny because I already had a word. I already saw a thing happen before my eyes, so I already knew. Yep, when I get off the line. Come on, sit down. As soon as I get off the prayer line, okay? Okay. Already knew a thing, right? I remember in my transition some years ago, and I got over here because somebody needs to hear this, and this is a part of that mentality, the psychology, and the whisperings and the conversations and the voices, okay? I got over into a thing, and when I was in my normal way of eating, which is really natural plant-based, you know, I got introduced to a conversation the Father was giving me about, you know, going raw for a season, right? Maybe about 30 to 45 days it was. I know it was 30 if it wasn't 45, but I know it was 30. 30 days of raw food. So that was just, everything was raw. Nothing was cooked. Absolutely nothing. So that was fruit all day. And a large salad at the end of the night with different things in it, including dressing that I made, and a humongous smoothie. And my children were trained to eat this way. So they had these bags of fruit. And there were like 2,500 calories in everybody's bag. And they would swap fruits, but they could never eat all that was in their bag every day. Never. And so they were satisfied, you know. Although they thought they needed something else because they had been raised eating other food, there were times they thought they needed something else. So the appetite that they had gained over the course of their life sometimes led them to want other things. So we went through this process, right? And after this process, I was in Pennsylvania during this time. And somebody that I was with at the time, I was married to, worked for a church in Jersey. I think it was Jersey. Yeah, either in Pennsylvania, somewhere else in Pennsylvania or Jersey. I feel like we were crossing a line or something. And we went over there every Sunday. And so the pastor said, I'm going to take you guys out to dinner. And we were telling him, okay, we'll wait until, you know, we knew we had to end that our thing was going to come to the end. And so they took us somewhere. And, of course, when I got there, I ordered what I would order, which is something vegetarian. I always create my meals when I go places because I don't necessarily want what's on the menu, but I'll take some of the things that are on the menu and create a meal that works for me. That's a heads up for somebody. You can do that at a lot of restaurants. You just have to know that that's what you do. I mean, it's nothing that they could do about it. Just if it's on the menu, this is what I want. Tell me what the price is for that. So I went and I ordered something that was on the menu. It was vegetarian. I don't remember what I ate, but I could feel when I was eating that cooked food, the food, the toxins from the food going into my extremities. So I'm telling you, I'd already been to this place. And so when I was feeling this buildup or this, I remember, you know, like even this morning, I'm thinking about the fact that he already took me to this place where I understood how food functions in the body, okay, how it is either a fuel or it's fatal. You know, it's going to give you what you need or it's going to take from you what you need. And I remember eating this vegetarian food, right, at the restaurant. And I remember feeling of this tingling, these things that were going into my extremities. And I said then, this is how arthritis and different issues with the bones, osteoporosis, and all these different things are established in the body because of what people are eating. So I knew this. But in that moment when I transitioned in December and throughout April to March, April, whatever that was, I think it was April, yeah, I didn't even think about that anymore. You know why? Because something got in my ears, something got in my eyes, something got in my mouth, something got in my nose, and it was causing me to do a thing differently against the will that had been established in me. This thing was being done. And because it tasted good, right, because I didn't stop eating the way I ate because it didn't taste good. I stopped eating the way I was eating because the Father instructed me. So I had to go back to my instructions, right? And so just a couple of days ago, we're still talking about psychology. We're still talking about all of this, but somebody needs this morning. It's just a simple instruction. And when you are forcing your way, forcing it to be your way, forcing it to be the way that you want to do it, then you're operating in witchcraft because it's rebellion to go against the Father's word knowingly. It's rebellion. There's disobedience, but then there's rebellion. See, disobedience and rebellion are not the same, although disobedience is the beginning of rebellion, right? Rebellion is that place where you've established, I'm not doing it another way. This is the way I want to do it, and I'm not going to do it any other way. So I was disobedient, okay? And I began to get the reward of that. Do you know that there are rewards connected to obedience? So the Father told me the other day, he said, I want you to order some oregano oil, and I want you to get your chlorophyll back. Now, this is liquid chlorophyll. He took me to a specific kind of chlorophyll. It was the one made from mulberry leaves. You have to look up all the benefits of mulberry. There are lots of different kinds of chlorophyll. They come from different places. Okay. Well, just look it up and identify with it. But so I did. I did those things. And when I got my oregano oil, I took it. I read the directions, the instructions, and I took it. It's like fire in your mouth. Okay. There are a lot of different things. I'm going to say this before I get off. There are a lot of different things that the Father desires to do with sons, but we have this, there's a weakness about just being human. This is why we need supernatural intervention. This is why we need to identify with our supernatural, because if we're just dealing in our flesh, there are boundaries and weaknesses that we have. And they begin with the mind, right? This thing was like fire in my mouth. So the natural inclination for a person that's just dealing from a fleshly perspective is, I'm not doing that again. That was hot and I couldn't put the fire out, right? And I'm supposed to do this again tomorrow, you know? You don't want that. It's the same thing with bitters. Bitters are good for the body. They do specific things with the body. And I'm not going to get into a health lesson this morning, but I'm just dropping some gems so you can go and look at this. What we like to gravitate towards, salt has its place, but it needs to be natural salt, like pink Himalayan sea salt, the sea salts, you know, and then that has its boundary as well. But those are electrifying. Salt is an electrifier for the body, right? And sugar is the energy or the fuel for the body, not any sugar, not white sugar. This is why you get that rush when you eat things that are filled with sugar, because, and that's the false rush, but if you eat fruit, it's a different kind of rush, and it's a sustaining that happens in that. So all sugars are not created equally, all salts are not created equally. And so you need these different dynamics in the diet because it trains the body to function a certain way. You need your bitters, you need your heats, you need these different things that cause the body to go into different places. And it's the same thing with your external body. We have falsely sheltered ourselves, and so it's made us weak. So if I falsely shelter myself in the heated house, not the fire side, but the heated house, if I falsely shelter myself in the cold, you know, the air conditioning place, then when I get outside of that, and I'm eating wrong as well, right, then I'm going to be under different kinds of pressure that are going to just make me very uncomfortable. I'm not going to be able to acclimate. Now, people are wondering over the course of my life how I was able to just be out in the heat and do whatever I was doing. It was because of how I ate, and because of how I ate, then my engine ran clean and my internal fan ran well. So I wasn't overheated like everybody else that was eating heavy, eating fries, eating macaroni and cheese, and then going outside 90-degree weather. That doesn't make any sense, but I was eating watermelon and peaches and eating things that were full of water and drinking water and smoothies and things that were giving me life. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. And so while I'm talking about this, I just want to bring to your identity or your understanding that this is the difference between dark and light. You know, these are things that show these variables that have different outcomes, okay? And so you got to be mindful of whatever it is that the Father is speaking to you about your life, okay? What is he saying to you? Because those dynamics are your direction. Those dynamics are your direction. And if you get in the wrong place, you can always cry out for help, right? That was one of the things that was in the movie. He said, listen, help is never far from you. You know, guy kept getting himself into some sticky places, and then he had to recall what was said to him from the different people that were put on his path, or the different angelic agencies that were put on his path to show him things. The Holy Spirit was called the interpreter, okay, the evangelist, came along and began to evangelize him, give him strategy. That's why an evangelist is really not just one that travels the globe to try to get people saved. It's a strategist. I believe that the evangelist is first for the body before it's for outside of the body. Okay, it's first for the body to get the body into the strategy of Yah. And man, I've got so much to say. I haven't even hit the notes yet. Okay, these are just things that are coming out of my spirit this morning to give to you because I believe this is needful. Understand, there's going to be a fight. If you are going to do what's right, there is going to be a fight because the enemy is set on you doing something opposite the Father, which is, you know, ultimately a crafting. You know, it's a doing something that's against the original manufactured purpose, okay? And then you want a refund after it's broken. That's not how that works, you know. You want to care for the thing according to the manufacturer's warranty. You know, that goes for your body, that goes for your household, that goes for all that. Prophetess Bontina was talking the other day about the garden and how we're to treat our children like the garden. What was the Father telling Adam in the garden? When I'm speaking about Adam, I'm talking about he and her, both of them. He said, dress it and keep it. That means cultivate it, right, and protect it. That is the job of a parent, to cultivate and protect the children. That's the job in a marital covenant. Those are the responsibilities of mates, is to cultivate relationship and to protect it. Everything is about the garden. Everything leads back to the garden. Do you realize that? Everything leads back to the garden and those instructions. It's never changed. It's never changed. So when the children of Israel get into this promised place and they begin to contaminate the place with the worship like other nations and just doing a bunch of stuff, you know, just doing the opposite of what they should have been doing, serving what they should not have served, worshiping what they should not worship, then they were thrust out of the land just like their enemies were. Father wants to bring us into a place of promise, but he's been giving us instructions all along and the things that we've been through, the things that we've walked through, the things that he's brought us through. You understand? All of that is him bringing us through, are all of the instructions that we'll need when we get to the promise. Don't do that again. You know, the master would say, go and sin no more when he would bring deliverance or healing to the people. He would say, go and sin no more. In other words, don't do what you did to get here. Don't redo this place that you're in. You know, I'm just so grateful this morning. Man, I'm grateful. I promise you, there are powers that think they be, that think they are not known and think that they are not seen. But this was the issue with the battle with me and my mouth. Because the adversary hates being exposed, but there's no backlash now. I've already endured the pain. I've already endured this process and undergone the attack, and I'm not going to stop talking. I'm clapping back this morning. You got to clap back when it comes to darkness. You can't just go and hide and shrivel up in a ball and wait for it to pass. You have to stand. You have to stand. You have to press through. Not going to be easy. You may be afraid in some instances, but when you hear that fear coming up in you, that's the adversary talking to you about what he wants to do and how he wants to do a thing. And you just remind him of what the Father said. You don't even have to have a conversation with him. Just begin to speak the word. Begin to declare what the Father has spoken concerning your life, concerning who you are. And remember, it's a thing that when you remember the Lion King, where Simba's he flopped down on the edge of that mountain where he was lifted up and he was declared king and he could hear his father's voice and remember. Come on, that's the place that the sons are in this season. Remember. You got to wake up in this season and remember what the Father has already done. Remember what he's already spoken. Remember what you've already been taught, how you've already been instructed. Remember, I'm not going to touch the notes this morning. I'm going to let you guys go. I'm not going to stay long. I had to get back to my duty, and the Father's giving us grace this morning for them to not be noisy and obnoxious, so I'm not going to take advantage of the grace. I'm going to let it go as far as it can go this morning. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Listen, the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. We'll be back tomorrow morning sharing some things. I'm going to get into my notes tomorrow. But we've got to remember. I want you to spend some time today remembering the word of the Father and remembering the work of the Father. Okay? Remember. I love you guys. Peace to your house. We're going to get out of here. See, I told you I had grace, and the grace just ran out. Love y'all. Peace. We'll be right back.